Paper chase segment, yes. Number one.
We're off with the paper chase, and this is abstract number one. Do words matter? Stigmatizing language and the transmission of bias in the medical record. This is from the Journal of General Internal Medicine. So, you know, every time we listen to anything on any of these theories, Mel always likes to say, what you do matters. What you do really matters, right? And what the authors here are trying to say is that what you write matters. So they're taking it one step further. Now, it's well documented that not all patients are treated equally in the healthcare system. And we've covered lots of articles on paper chase, and there's been dozens of articles over the years in EMA looking at things like varying rates of giving analgesics based on race, ethnicity. You know, we don't treat all people the same. That's just a fact of life. That's just where we are in medicine here. But no one wants this to be the case, right? We want to think that we're treating everybody equally and we're like being really good doctors and really nice people. Yeah, we want to be nice, you know. So I think step one is just sort of being aware of it. There is this like unconscious bias that we might carry with us. You know, we all have it. So don't like feel guilty about it, but just sort of be aware of it.
I don't.
But what the authors are suggesting here, you're full of bias. You're full of something. So the authors are suggesting here that we might be contributing to the problem of bias in a totally different way, not by what we do or what we think, but what we write in the medical record. So in this clever study, the authors basically examined whether or not the presence of stigmatizing language written in the chart impacted the attitudes and treatment plan of the next physician who was seeing the patient. Basically, they used a simple vignette study design. So this was not real patients in a clinical setting. This was sort of reading, you know, pieces of paper with some fictitious charts on them. And they had two charts with the same medical information about the same hypothetical patient with sickle cell disease. The first one was full of stigmatizing language, and the second one was written with very neutral language. And when you read the charts, they're in the paper, this stigmatizing language is very stigmatizing.
Uh-oh.
It's very over the top. It's like sort of like rambling on about him complaining about the housing authority having kicked him out of somewhere and his wheelchair got stolen. And there's lots of like sort of subjective comments that are casting doubt on if anything he's saying is actually true. And there's tons of inappropriate quotes that are full of expletives. It's really stigmatizing. Then what they did was they had medical students and emergency medicine and internal medicine residents read the notes and complete a survey assessing their attitudes of the patient and what they would do to treat that patient if they were seeing them in the emergency department. So they surveyed 413 participants and their response rate was only 54%. So, you know, being critical, this is not the best science.
46% of them were like, I'm not taking care of either of these guys.
So, you know, you'd like to see over 80% at least in sort of a survey study like this, so kind of low. But they did find that a statistically significant difference in both attitude toward the patient and in terms of their management, if they would give them pain medication when they saw them in the ED based on whether or not they saw the stigmatizing chart. And obviously they had sort of lower scores in both if they saw the stigmatizing chart. Now, interestingly, the attitude to both patients, the neutral patient with sickle cell disease and the stigmatized chart patient with sickle cell disease, was much lower among residents compared with medical students. So it sounds like we're getting a little sour in our yes. training here. But
you said, weren't some of those people interns?
Yes, they were. It is late in the year. So in sum, they're making an argument here that what we write down is an important and overlooked pathway by which bias can be propagated from one clinician to another, further impairing healthcare equality for the individual patient, as well as sort of entrenching healthcare disparities overall for those who are being stigmatized. Now, we sort of included this in paper chase, and I think it's important for a couple of reasons, actually, even though, like I said, survey response rate, not the best. But number one, I think this is very interesting and very different. You know, I've never seen a paper like this written before, so I think it's going to sort of stir up some conversation amongst the EMA sphere. That's my guess. Number two is, let's just think about some really specific issues like quoting patients, right? Is that okay? Is that okay to quote a patient in a chart? I generally do it. Actually, you know, I do it under very specific sort of circumstances. I don't tend to quote things that are like, you know, if they're really being racially like angry or something, I don't quote those things. I'll just say patient is being, you know, argumentative. I'll sort of say some things that describe it. But if it's a quote about something specific in their history, I usually do it if they're describing the pain or something. So I do quote some things, but I don't tend to quote things that are really emotionally charged. Mike, how do you handle that?
I rarely, if ever, have quoted anything in a medical chart. I just, you know, I feel that the medical chart's supposed to reflect my distilled version of things. I could be wrong on that. I know a lot of people do like to put quotes around specific words. I just don't usually do it.
Yeah, I think, you know, you could certainly...
I'm also a really lazy charter. So yeah. I'm like, quotes, that's an extra keystroke. You have to hit the shift button. Very unlikely to do it.
That's a good point. But if you're dictating, maybe it goes a little bit faster.
You still got to say it.
So, but the third thing, and maybe the most important in my mind, what this made me think of when I read this paper was sort of, we're entering this era of this open chart concept, right? Where your medical record, your chart that you write on a patient in the emergency department might be accessible to that patient. So we started this at USC like maybe a year ago or something.
If you're not already in a system that's doing this, you will be by the time this EMA segment airs.
So I think this is like a very timely paper, yeah, actually, for that reason, if nothing else, to remind us that if your ED goes to the sort of open chart system, whether you like it or not, like I think they're going to go there, and the patients will read their charts. You know, and they just did this at the community-based ED where my wife works, and she was already telling me a couple of stories where, you know, patients had read charts and came back to her and commented around something like, I said 7 out of 10 pain, you wrote down 8 out of 10. Or something like that. So, you know, they're out there. Patients are reading them. They're using them. So I think we should really be paying attention to what we write in the medical record for lots of different reasons. I think this is great paper fodder, actually.
Yeah, I do too. And I actually think there's one other point that, you know, one of the things that is really good and drives me crazy about the electronic health record is that it allows you to read the chart before you see the patient. Right. So in some ways that can be very useful if the patient's kind of complex and they've got really, you know, can sort of gear your HMP if you know that they have, you know, lupus and they've failed all these treatments and all that kind of stuff. On the other hand, this study sort of highlights, since people do that now, they really read it before they even see the patient. It sort of highlights how reading that could set the tone when you walk into that room. So it's going to make me think a little bit about the utility of, you know, doing that chart biopsy before you see the patient.
Yeah, I think lots of good messages here, lots of good paper chase stuff. Look forward to hearing people's opinions on it.
Be aware that bias, unconscious or otherwise, is easily passed on through the patient's chart.